welcome to the summer series with me, Nicole Sachs, on the Cure for Chronic Pain Network. You are here. Hello, everybody. How are you today? This is Nicole Sachs, and you have reached the summer series on my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. Welcome to it. We are right in the middle of our incredible community building summer series. I'm loving it. And this week is going to be a shorter podcast, a bit of a knowledge drop, because I'm coming off a week-long private retreat in which I had the opportunity to connect with a smaller group and really and do some deep work. When people are familiar with one another, sort of a family kind of situation, it really does bring out an ability to get honest and authentic, and some really great topics came out of that retreat and helped me as I am gearing up for my yearly summer Omega retreat, which is going to be in about a week and a half, August 7th through the 12th. So if you are listening to this when the podcast drops and you would like to study with me in person and be in the presence of so many people who are going through exactly what you're going through, the true definition of community, just go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, click on the retreats tab, or go to eomega.org and search my name and come join us. Just a few more days to sign up. And I would love to be there with you. It's an incredible experience. So today we are going to talk about the concept of being triggered. Such a big word, such a word that's used in many spaces in our common vernacular. And I want to kind of boil it down today to something that can really help you. Because, you know, I've been thinking about the concept of being triggered. A lot of people on SpeakPipe in our community building exercise that we're doing this summer are talking about things that cause them to be triggered, situations, family stuff, work environments, parenting, pain. There's so many places that we're triggered. And I want to talk about it because I think the word trigger has become so ubiquitous that we almost dismiss it. It becomes sort of a meme and a trope and a joke, like, oh, I'm sorry, am I triggering you? And that is something that's worthwhile to discuss because we don't want to always feel like the power is outside of us. You know, sometimes the concept of a trigger makes us feel like we don't have control because someone else is doing something that's causing a chain reaction in us that we can't control. We don't have any agency over that. And that's actually not true. So I want to talk about the concept of triggers, something that happened in my own life around my own trigger, and maybe open up the discussion within you, because I really do think that, as always is the case in this podcast, we are looking to create in our lives more possibility, more pause, more space between a stimulus and our response to life that causes us in the end to have the things we want: connection, love, opportunities for joy, touching into the presence of the moment, better relationships, calling in the kind of relationships we want. That's what we're here for. Yes, we're here for the cessation of pain and symptoms and struggle, but we're also here to fill that space with the things that we want in our life. You know, this is your life. This is what we're here to do. We're here to connect. We're here to feel free, right? We're here to experience our personal freedom the most amount. So today we're going to talk about triggers. I want to unmask them for what they are, and I want to call in the ability for you to feel empowered. So the term triggered refers to an experience of having an emotional reaction to a disturbing topic or event or stimulus. So trigger is a word that's become so ubiquitous in our culture, as I said, that sometimes we feel as if we'd rather form elaborate protective structures around us rather than look within ourselves. So like when I say that, what I mean is, you know, let's say you're walking through the world and you know that certain things are going to trigger you, certain the way people talk or certain environments or certain stimulus we're experiencing. For example, people with migraines don't like to go in the sun. That's a trigger. So that's a physical trigger. Or maybe if you know that, you know, certain political conversations are going to be being had, you might not want to go into that environment. That's a trigger. And I get that. I really do. And I don't want to take away from you your personal decision to keep yourself safe, but I also don't want us to have to make our world so small that we have to form these elaborate protective structures rather than just be free. be free in the world. Because when we look within ourselves, rather than constantly trying to alter the world around us, that's when we're enabled to find enduring healing, not temporary band-aids for things. So let's talk a bit about triggers. There's a difference between being triggered and being uncomfortable. So for someone with a history of trauma, being around anything that reminds us of the traumatic experience can make us feel like we're experiencing that trauma all over again. That's where triggers are. I think that's where I want to kind of call out the common trope of the word trigger, because a trigger is not just, I'm a little uncomfortable. A real trigger is where we actually lose the power to make a choice momentarily. Okay. So this doesn't mean you're not empowered at all, but when we're in the midst of a real trigger, when we are in a space where we're feeling like we're experiencing trauma all over again, real deep trauma, that's when we don't always have a choice in the matter. And that's where I want to remind you that with awareness and with presence and with pause, there is always a choice. You're never responsible for your first reaction to something. Your first reaction to something is a reflex. And when I say reaction, I don't mean lashing out at someone. I mean a thought. So something happens to you and you are having a thought like, screw this. I'm not dealing with this person. I'm out of here. Okay, that's your first emotional and thoughtful response to something, but it isn't your fault, because whatever has triggered you in the moment is making you feel unsafe. And within unsafe, we can be just like a cornered animal. You know, we're reacting machines. So you are not responsible for your first emotional or mindful reaction to something. You're responsible for your second, though. And so here's what I'm here for. I'm here to create a pause between the first and the second reactions to things. And so triggers tend to really bring up that first reaction. They are a place where we are lost in a previous experience. We find ourselves momentarily lost. So there can be internal triggers and external triggers. An internal trigger is something that happens a lot in the chronic pain and chronic symptom and syndrome and diagnosis community, which is the trigger comes within us. It can be a physical sensation or emotion that can happen, let's say, when we're stressed. Like say, for example, when you're stressed, you get the hint of a symptom. Maybe a slight headache comes on, or a racing heart, or maybe like a tinge of back pain, or your stomach, you know, cramps up, and this is an internal trigger. And all of a sudden, you are in the cascade of fear and meaning that causes the response of the nervous system to rise and can cause that TMS symptom to really flare. So that's an internal trigger. Then there can be external triggers. That's sort of what I was discussing before in terms of like what kind of discussion is going to be going on, or what kind of atmosphere, what kind of people are going to be there, or what might I be forced to endure? That's when we start dipping into our past, our trauma, our family of origin, our upbringing. And then that can be an external trigger, that a person, place, or specific situation, something that is happening outside of you but causes an emotional reaction within you. Those are pretty, I believe those triggers are really common. You know, you don't have to be a person in chronic anything community to be experiencing those kind of triggers, because no one had a perfect childhood. No one had a situation where, you know, nothing bothered you. So when we get deep enough into those spaces where we felt unsafe, which is really where triggers are living most powerfully, in places where we actually didn't feel safe. That is where we can really lash out. And then, of course, we are at some points hurting what we want to build. So relationships are a big thing. Like, we want to make our relationships in our lives the most solid, the most loving, the most connected. And when we're operating out of our triggers, we can really ruin moments, and we can really chip away at the powerful, beautiful relationships that we want to build and sustain. And so let's talk about that. Let's talk about what happens when we're triggered, and then let's talk about what we can do about it. So something happened to me last week. That was not very pleasant. And I want to talk about it because it was a real opportunity for me to look at myself. And I don't enjoy that, P.S. But I know you don't enjoy looking at yourselves either. And guys, I want to just say, even though it's super unenjoyable to look at ourselves, we have to be intrepid in doing it. Because if you don't look at yourself, you really, really lose so much of your personal power. You know, as I said before, we can build these elaborate protective structures around us and keep us from ever being uncomfortable. But that is no way to live. Instead, when we can pause and bravely and boldly look at ourselves and see the soft, sweet babies inside of us that are being hurt, that are being triggered into places where we were really mistreated, and then not continue to do that in our current relationships, guys, that is winning. That is winning in the greatest sense. But it does involve initially and over the course of a practice, which is a lifetime, doing the uncomfortable work of looking at ourselves. And so here's something that happened to me last week that was pretty uncomfortable. So I was in a situation with someone that is in my family who I love. And I don't want to go into great detail because that's not important, but what's important is the way I responded. So I was in the situation and this person's mood changed really sharply in a way that didn't make sense to me. And so I'm not going to talk about the trigger at first. I'm just going to tell you the story. And so the mood changed sharply to a mood of real heightened emotion and displeasure with the situation. And I perceived the situation to be that this person had just had it. You know, they were just no longer interested in participating in the situation. What I didn't understand at the time, because I went right into my trigger, is actually that person was experiencing a panic reaction, a reaction where they weren't completely in control of their emotions and communication. But the reason that I want to talk about myself is I am only responsible for myself in a situation. You are responsible for you and I'm responsible for me. So whatever was going on in that moment, I was triggered. So the reason I was triggered is because growing up, I was in an incredibly volatile situation day to day. I had a father whose moods would swing on an incredibly broad pendulum. He would go from being totally okay to totally outraged. And it could be incredibly embarrassing. It could be humiliating to me. It made me feel very unsafe on honestly and almost a moment to moment basis. And so when somebody's mood changes precipitously, I find myself to at times feel unsafe. But this moment that I was in a trigger. So I didn't just feel unsafe. I reacted. I was there. In that moment when this person in my life, a situation that had nothing to do with my father or my upbringing, they were in a place of panic. I was unaware of that. Their reaction brought me to a space immediately where I felt totally unsafe because the mood had changed so quickly. And then I reacted back in a way that was really unkind, really shaming and unkind. And that was a trigger. And that was my immediate response to a trigger. And that is not how I'm looking to live my life or how I'm looking to help you live your life. I'm not wanting you to respond to something so quickly that you don't have power to pause and to decide how you want to communicate with someone you love in your life. And that's what happened to me. I didn't have that moment because, you know, no one's going to be batting 1,000 here. I was tired. We were on the road. I was tired and I was not my best self. And so I was susceptible to my trigger. And so in that moment when I felt unsafe, I was right back, a child in my family where the mood changed so quickly and I had no voice. I had no voice. I had no power. I had no space to be me. The only thing I could do when my father was like that is shut down completely. People please like the fawning you cannot even imagine because I had to make myself and my mother safe. And it was really he died when I was 27. He died 23 years ago and still an incredibly difficult space for me to inhabit. And so no wonder that when that mood changed so dramatically, I was susceptible to my trigger. Doesn't mean I have to do that in the future, guys. I'm always a work in progress. I'm always learning. So are you. And then I lashed out and I was like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why are you doing this? Grow up. You know, like that kind of, which is to me a really terrible way to treat anyone, to be honest, but also certainly not a way you want to treat someone who's in a panic. And so, you know, we worked it out and everything has been, you know, really healed in a very deep way. But what I want to say to you is that experience really showed me if I am susceptible that way, we all are. And, you know, of course, I don't hold myself on any high pedestal. Of course, we all are if I am. And so let's talk about how we can circumvent these very uncomfortable experiences of being triggered. First thing is always our most powerful tool, the pause. Now, how do we get access to the pause? Because I certainly didn't have access the other day. The way we get access to the pause is when we are not in a moment of fighting a fire, we are practicing awareness. This stuff, guys, has got to happen when you're not in the space of heightened emotions and heightened conflict. It just can't happen there. It has to happen when you have presence of mind, like right now, like when you're listening to this podcast right now. When we have presence of mind and we're not fighting fires, like a daily journal speak practice, like a daily meditation practice, we're able to practice awareness. We're able to realize that when we're triggered, our perception is that you are doing something to me. That's actually not the case. When we are triggered, we are triggered. You know, there's a person I know, a colleague of mine, and I love it. And he has this line that says, when I'm disturbed, there's only one thing I need to know is that I'm disturbed. And so when we're triggered, we're in the space of something that's happening and we're in a different place. We might be in our childhood. We might be in a past abusive relationship. We might be in any place of unsafety or powerlessness. And so the responsibility lies with us. I mean, imagine a utopia where each of us actually took full responsibility for our emotional reactions. There wouldn't be very much conflict anymore, would there? So as we practice awareness in these more peaceful moments of the kind of things that bring us discomfort, the kind of things that make us feel like we are unsafe. This is all stuff that is so beautiful to explore in your journal speak practice. We can then create the pause in that awareness that makes us more empowered to act in ways that are comfortable and kind to one another. Teamwork, being on the same team, being on the same side as the people with whom we share our lives. So one way that's good to do this is to practice with low-hanging fruit, annoyances, conscious triggers. So if I'm feeling myself getting aggravated about something, so I'm not completely knee-jerk going headlong into a situation, I'm just feeling irritated, I can practice an internal pause and say, what's happening here? What's happening right now? Why am I feeling like I want to bite this person's head off? And then when you can pause there, practice with those low-hanging fruit, you can say, I see what's happening now. The tone this person is taking with me, which really is not their intention, is that exact same tone my mother always took when she used to criticize me over and over again, right? So there you go. This is not about the moment we're being triggered. This person sounds like my mom. Is this person my mom? No. Am I a grown-up today, not a small child that was in the grips of this mother's decisions? No, actually today I am a grown-up adult. I'm a person that can make my own decisions. I'm a person that can pause and step out of the room, that can do some self-care, that can take a walk in nature, that can say, you know what, this conversation is getting a little heated right now. I'm going to step out of the ring. Kid can't do that. You can. So that's a great thing to do, to make sure you can draw a thoughtful line between your conscious and your unconscious triggers. You know, like, for example, when one big trigger for me, and I know like people that are close to me also share this, is the concept of injustice. I get really set off by injustice, but it's a conscious trigger for me. So I don't go flying off the handle when I see injustice, but there are certain things, ooh, my chest tightens. I get really annoyed. I get really defensive, either for myself if I feel the injustice is directed at me or maybe toward somebody that is being maligned. But I can practice in that moment, how do I want to respond to that? Do I want to feel like a hothead or do I want to burst into tears? Not really. What I want to do is practice seeing where I am being triggered because I feel like my childhood was rife with injustice. And I know that's where I go. I know that's where I go. And so practicing that pause when we can really help us in moments where we're very, very inflamed. There's nothing that is ever going to take away every reaction you have to a trigger, but a journal speak practice that allows us to investigate our triggers. Be an investigator. Be in a place where you are curious all the time about why you are who you are. What is it that makes you who you are? Can empower you a great deal in those triggering moments. So let's understand, it's in a state of higher awareness when we are looking at the bigger picture. When we are most connected to our higher selves, which is really the place space where we're in flow, when we feel like we are really knowing where we're going, where we see that everything is offered to us as a real experience to learn and grow, we stop seeing this lens of separateness. Of, you know, you're you and I'm me and you're out to hurt me and I'm out to defend myself. And we start to get more access to the same of it all. We are so much more same than not. One of my favorite words in the English language is same. One of the kindest and loveliest moments of connection you can give to another person is when they're expressing themselves, what they think, what they care about, what they believe, and you can just go, oh my God, same. I love same, samey, same. It's my favorite. And so understanding when we're not in the grips of our triggers, when we are in that heightened state of awareness, we know, we see, we have more access to the fact that we are more same than not. We don't have to control our environments all the time to make everything just right for us, just safe enough. We don't have to feel so in control all the time. We can start accessing that sameness. We can start realizing that our real goal is to cultivate equanimity. We don't want to feel like everything is controlling us because, you know, we don't control the weather, guys. Can't control what someone says to you. You can't control a change in someone's mood. You can't control a long line or traffic in a long car ride. You can't control the maitre d' at a restaurant or the way someone speaks to you. You can't control. And so how can we cultivate equanimity within ourselves? That's the real power, guys. That's the freedom. So we're not here to be in control. We're here to be free. And if we seek to be in control and to manage all these triggers around us, guys, we will never be free. So, you know, I want to close with this. It's a line that I did not write, but a line that has been said to me over and over in different sort of contexts that I love. It's been said in child rearing that we don't create the path for the child. We prepare the child for the path. And in this sense, I want us to know that we do not prepare the path for ourselves. We cannot lay out everything perfectly, but we can prepare ourselves for the path. That is so important. That's what we're doing here all the time. That's why we're always working to help us feel as healthy as possible with our chronic symptoms, because we can't have a perfect world, but we can perfect in any way possible with the best version of the word perfection ourselves. We can control only ourselves. And when we're not preparing the path for ourselves, when we're preparing ourselves for the path, that is the space where we have the most connection to moment, being in the moment. We have the most connection to our joy. We have the most ability to laugh and to love and to be with the people that matter to us. And we have the most space to create rest and repair in our nervous systems, to move from fight or flight to rest and repair when we feel prepared, when we feel ease. And that's when we're really in the most optimal space to allow those symptoms to fall away. So just some food for thought, guys, just a little knowledge drop on triggers. I hope this was helpful to you. It certainly was helpful to me to talk it out. And I'm really excited because when I am in the space of a learning moment, when I have a moment like last week, I know that I'm not going to have to repeat that behavior in the future because that behavior makes me feel shitty and I don't want to feel shitty. I want to feel good. I want to feel as much peace as possible and I want to feel as free as possible. And I want that for you. So there we are for today. Only a week and a half until I get to be with you guys in person. If you are on the fence about coming to Omega, please come if you can. It is next freaking level. Oh my God, I can't wait. Okay, I'm getting excited. And if you haven't reached out to me yet on SpeakPipe, go to speakpipe.com/Nicole Sachs. Tell me where you are. Tell me what you want to hear. Ask me a question. I'm here for you and I'm listening to every single one of your messages, even if they don't get played on air. And if you're enjoying the podcast, hop over to iTunes and rate and review it. It really brings more people to the pod and it really helps me know how you're enjoying it. So I really appreciate it. I just love reading your reviews. All right, guys. Well, until next time, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast in the summer series. And I will see you then. All right. Love to all of you. Bye-bye.